This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, December 17th, 2021. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Labour and International Migrant Day, December 18th. The Kellogg Cereal Company fires 1,400 workers in the U.S. How unions around the world have been coping with COVID-19 and singing.
Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line.
This is Radio Labour. There are about 115 million migrant workers in the world. Their wages and working conditions have always been poor, but the pandemic has made things even worse. One of the major problems they face is wage theft. To publicize the plight of the workers, the Solidarity Center produced a podcast using Sri Lanka as an example. The center is the largest international labor rights organization in the United States. Its podcast is hosted by the center's executive director, Shauna Bader-Blau.
Imagine working and not getting paid. I mean, many of us do have fun sometimes when we're at work, but we don't work for fun. We work to support ourselves and our families. But unbelievably, in the 21st century, for millions of people worldwide, especially those in low-wage work, and especially for people who migrate from their homes for jobs, it's shocking how often they work and don't get paid. Paid on time, or even at all. Our guest today will describe a campaign across Asia that is raising awareness about the untold numbers of people who migrate for work, but who are not paid and are forced to work long hours with no days off, all forms of wage theft. Michael Joy Kim speaks to us from Sri Lanka, where he is co-founder and director of the Plantation Rural Education and Development Organization, PRIDO. PRIDO is part of the Justice for Wage Theft campaign formed by migrant rights organizations during the COVID crisis. Michael, in your experience working in Sri Lanka and across the region on the issue of migrant workers, I wonder if you could just share a little bit, like, what are some of the reasons people migrate?
All the others go because there is less income for them. Many other migrant workers are either semi-skilled or unskilled workers. So they can't earn very much to build a house, to educate their children. And many of them also go to repay their loans locally so that they come out of that bondage of getting indebted.
What constitutes wage theft?
Wage theft is basically when the employer does not pay the wages agreed. Normally a contract would include that amount, and otherwise there would not be an official agreement. But what happens is, when you go to the country, if the labor laws are not implemented properly, one is not paying the minimum wages.
So someone is leaving a country either because they need to pay off debt and they can't make enough locally, or they're trying to improve their lives and livelihoods. They land in a country and work and either don't get paid the wages they're promised or owed, or in some cases don't get paid at all. I know that your organization, PRIDO, is working with the Justice for Wage Theft campaign, and that campaign began during the early months of the COVID pandemic.
Wage theft became a sort of a common phenomenon where they complained of various grievances before COVID-19. And out of the 1,700 cases, about 60 to 75% of them actually were wage theft. They were complaining that they were not paid, they were cheated, they were promised they were paid later, they were not paid overtime. But then suddenly, after COVID-19, large number of people started complaining that they were not paid, they lost the employment, and it became a huge problem.
To hear the full interview about migrant worker wage theft, visit solidaritycenter.org. In the United States, 100,000 workers are on strike or have authorized strike actions to support their bargaining committees. The latest outrageous action by an employer came as the cereal producer Kellogg's announced that it is planning to replace 1,400 of its striking workers and bring in scabs. The workers are members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union, the BCTGM. They have been on strike since October 5th, 2021. The main issue in the dispute is Kellogg's use of a two-tier employee system in which newly hired workers are not provided the same level of wages and benefits as longer-term employees. Liz Schuller is the president of the AFL-CIO, the largest labor federation in the U.S.
They think that they can start a two-tier system and sell out the next generation. Are we going to let that happen?
No!
That's right.
Kellogg's is the classic story of taking a business that was run as a family and over time starting to put downward pressure on wages as corporate profits are going up. And they just enriched their CEO and then told their workforce that they can't have the health care that they used to have. They're going to institute a two-tier system where the younger next generation workforce isn't going to be treated the same. So these workers are saying no. They're drawing a line in the sand and they're saying enough is enough.
Here are some of the Kellogg workers, starting with Trevor Biddleman, the president of the local union at Kellogg's main plant in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Boss makes a dollar, I made a dime. That was a poem from a simpler time. Now the boss makes a thousand and gives us a cent while he's got employees that can't pay their rent. So when the boss makes a million and the worker makes jack, that's when we strike and take our lives back. The worker exploitation that's been taking place by all of these corporations has to stop, and it has to stop now.
And it's shameful to think that the company cannot take care of your health. We'll take care of you. When you have a two-tier system, it creates a lot of animosity.
It's a way to pay all future employees less and less benefits.
New people coming in, they want to pay them $13 an hour less. They don't want them to have a pension. They don't want them to have the full medical benefits.
They want to take the benefits that I had away from these new guys. See, if somebody would have done that to me years ago, I would never had nothing. These guys would have had less.
They take in their hundreds and millions of dollars of profit and they just cut bait and run.
One day these companies, they're going to realize they're doing wrong. Only CEO, they get more money, but the people who make all that profit, they don't get anything. They're trying to divide us.
Labor unions all around the world have been struggling to confront the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on workplaces. To better understand how unions have been coping, the Workers' Activities Bureau of the ILO held an online conference with unionists from many countries. The ILO is the International Labor Organization. The Bureau operates under its French acronym ACTRAV. I talked to the director of ACTRAV, Maria Elena Andre, about the conference. I asked her to outline some of the effects the pandemic has had on the world of work.
I think that there are a number of effects that we can talk about. Let me just select a few. I think that across the world, we have seen a strong impact of COVID-19, in particular on the labor institutions. At the start of the pandemic, when we had the first lockdowns, we could see that those workers and employers were severely impacted by the restrictions, by the lockdown measures, and in many cases as well, some of those have become unemployment for many of the trade union members. So in some cases, we have seen a decline in the membership. But I would say we've also seen a certain willingness on the part of both employers and workers, I have to say, to try and find solutions in order to keep people's livelihoods, in order to keep people's lives, which was so important, and in order to keep an economic activity that would be important. The second thing that I think we have observed was in this attempt to find immediate solutions that would really maintain the livelihoods and the economic activity at the same time protecting people's health, we've seen a lot of measures in the area of social protection, for instance, or in the areas of occupational safety and health. I mean, we know, all of us, that you need to protect the workers, all workers, independently from their employment status. But we know that in the reality, the world of work is different from that. And we also know that over the last few years, occupational safety and health measures were not on the top of the radar of the constituents of the ILO, with the exception of the decision, of course, to recognize OSH as a fundamental principle and right at work at our ILC in 2020 on the Future of Work Declaration. So the social protection and the OSH measures came up very, very importantly as a reply to the COVID-19. I mean, for instance, the frontliners, of course, which is not just people in the health, but it's also all those that have allowed for our economies to continue working, that have allowed us to continue eating, for instance, or that have allowed us to continue moving in terms of transport and all the rest. Those measures were very important in that regard. In what we've done in ACTRAV and in the ILO, we have observed that in this period, there were 1,600 social protection measures that were put in place, not just for those that were not covered, but also those that were covered, but there were gaps. I think this is high, and it's very interesting to see how are we going to sustain this in the future. We've also seen, and this is the third point of the challenges, a growth in inequalities. Nothing new. Inequalities in the labor market, inequalities within vulnerable groups, inequalities within and between countries were something that we were already aware of, but we have seen that growing. And as I was saying, the most vulnerable ones were the ones that were hardest hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. We have young workers, we have women, we have migrant workers, we have workers in the informal economy, we have workers in the platform economy that were already vulnerable in terms of their protection, not just social protection, but also rights protection from a labor market perspective. And they've been very impacted. And I think it should be a source of concern for all of us to make sure that in moving forward, they will probably be the first ones that we look into more carefully.
Now here is Robin Roberts with Hold That Line.
Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. We're standing here together, one for all and all for one. And we'll keep right on here standing till our victory we have won. We're united in our struggle. No, there's none us can divide. We'll yield nothing to the enemy because we've justice on our side. Sing now, hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line against the bosses when they try to drive us back. Hold that line against the coppers and their armed baton attacks. Hold that line against the government, against all enemies of our class. Hold that line against the scabs too. No, we'll never let them pass. Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line against the World Bank and against the IMF. Hold that line and keep on holding it as long as we have breath. Hold that line against their dogma. Hold that line against their creed. Hold that line to save the future from their plunder and their greed. Singing now, hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. We're standing with the millions, reaching out across this world, and with those who fought before us, our banners here unfurled. But there's more room yet beside us if you'll come and join our cause. For the chains that now enslave you, they're all you've got to lose. Sing now, hold that line. Hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken. Stand and hold that picket line.
Hold That Line was written by Jeff Francis and Peter Hicks. And that's it. Labor news you can use. You can listen to our daily newscasts and features at radiolabor.net. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.